Our 2000s discussion continues with Danny Ainge showing up and immediately becoming Trader Danny. It's the Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go! Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales of Mass Live here, welcoming you back to another Locked On Celtics podcast on this Monday, Memorial Day in the United States. Enjoying a three-day weekend if you have it. I hope you are, because that means you're working, and that's great. In this time, working is good. If you are just enjoying a day, wherever it is that you are, enjoy it with this podcast as we continue our discussion of the 2000s in this Danny Ainge arrives. The new owners, Wick Grosbeck and company, have now decided to give Danny Ainge the reins, and he takes it and starts running. And all of this is brought to you by Built Bar. Go ahead and buy yourself a new box of the best protein bars on the market, the best tasting protein bars on the market. Go to BuiltBar.com. Not only can you use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first purchase, I've got a whole bunch of new offers for you coming up. Free stuff and even more savings. But make sure you're going to BuiltBar.com and using the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, let's pick up where we left off last week. Last Thursday, Friday was its own normal podcast with news of a timeline for the NBA's return. Go check that out if you've missed that. But now, in this part of Celtics history, Danny Ainge comes in. Antoine Walker goes out. He makes a pretty good draft and starts drafting the pieces for the future Kevin Garnett trade. So the groundwork is being laid, but Danny Ainge is important to note, and as you'll hear in this discussion, he doesn't exactly come in with any sort of reputation at all because this is his first front office job, and he's been doing it for a long time now, but we didn't know when they hired him what we're going to get in Boston. We didn't know if he was going to be a continuation. And in fact, as we continue our discussion, it felt like he was a continuation of Rick Pitino and Wallace. And it was, you know, at first, you're just kind of wondering what he was doing. So here we go. It's me, RedsArmy.com's Mike Dinan and Chuck McKenney, as Danny Ainge arrives in Boston.
May 9th, 2003, Danny Ainge takes over the Boston Celtics and immediately gets to work. Trades, let's see, two trades in June. Draft day trades. He traded on June 25th, Darius Sangalia to Sacramento for a second round pick. That was nothing. That was Orion Green. I remember Orion Green.
Of course.
That was another unceremonious career for him. So on draft day 2003, he makes a draft day trade, picks up Mark Spanks, Kendrick Perkins. So the first in Danny Ainge's first draft, he picks up Perk. He signs Mike James. And then in July, he makes another trade. Jared Bremer, Bruno Shundov are gone. In October, he makes the big trade. This is the big one where he comes in right away. Antoine Walker is having some success, but obviously not the level of success that we'd all hoped. And so he trades Antoine to Dallas in a deal that it was Tony Delk and Antoine Walker for Rafe LaFrance, Chris Mills, and Yuri Welsh, and a first-round pick that became Delonte West. I liked Yuri Welsh. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, me too. But this was a big move, right? I mean, I don't think we knew what to expect from Danny in this position. If my memory serves me correct, so he had spent some time coaching Phoenix previous to this, right? But I don't think he had front office experience. This should have been part of my show prep, but
no,
but it didn't. So there was a gamble there, and this sort of deal, LaFrance was, I mean, again, this was another one of those, yes, they're moving Antoine. Antoine had a big contract. LaFrance had a big contract. It was just like two guys swapping who, you know, their original teams weren't overly thrilled with anymore. It wasn't anything, it was a step to the side, right? It wasn't a step forward. Cause I don't recall anyone being excited about LaFrance coming here. And then, right? So it was just one of those, wow, you know, I think some may have been surprised because we, you know, Antoine was drafted here. He was our all-star, but Danny knew he could see with Antoine's game that, he just didn't like it. And then based off of his performance from the previous season, I think there was some evidence there, and I think history proved him right.
I think this is also a statement that it was now Pierce's team. No more question about who the leader was.
I mean, I don't recall any sort of friction between Antoine or Paul. I felt like they coexisted. Antoine was certainly more animated. And I never felt like for every time he shimmied and maybe you thought that was a little bit too much, he did bring fire to the team. He was a leader. I just but you're right. I think it also signaled that, you know, this was you know, Paul was the guy we're building around.
Yeah, they didn't have friction necessarily, but I'm pretty sure I remember during that Philadelphia series in, was it 02?
Yeah.
Where they went five. It was a five-game series. They went five. Yeah. If I remember right, there was a game that came down to the last shot, and there was some sort of a dispute about who should take it. And so I always wondered, you know, what was the dynamic between them on that score? But here, Danny trades away Antoine, and now there's no doubt about it. It's Paul Pierce's team.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You have heard me talk about Built Bar as the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's covered in 100% chocolate. It comes in a ton of great flavors. If you have a nut allergy, there are those without nuts. If you have gluten sensitivity, they're gluten-free. So there's plenty of reason to go ahead and buy yourself a box of Built Bars, or more than a box. In fact, right now, go ahead to BuiltBar.com. Not only do you use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order, all week long, you get $5 off every box of bars you buy. Go ahead and check out the labels. Check it out. Compare it to the competition. You're going to see that you get all of the protein that you want, all of the flavor that you want, but low calorie, low carbs, low sugars. If you buy a box or multiple boxes today, Monday, you will get a free pack of the assorted Built Boost energy drink mix on top of it. That is a little packet of energy drink that you pour into your water, a little powdered packet that you pour into your water. It tastes great. It gives you a nice boost of energy. It's almost like a cup of coffee. For me, that's how it was anyway. You get that free, a free pack of the assorted Built Boost energy drink mix, $5 every box of bars all week long. The free Built Boost energy drink mix is Monday only. And all of this can be used with your $10 off your first order. Locked On is the promo code.
So go ahead to BuiltBar.com. You'll get all of this. And they even have four new flavors of the Built Bars. Peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. How can you not go to Built Bar? In fact, I've been putting off getting my next order. This is how I'm going to do it on this Monday. I'm getting all this free stuff. It's such a bargain. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
It's Pierce's team. I mean, Antoine coming off of those two all-star seasons, but it's pretty obvious that Ainge doesn't believe that Antoine is going to be the answer for the Boston Celtics. And I'm trying to figure out his contractual. So he was in year four. He was going to year four of a big contract that he had signed. And he was going to make $13.5 million going into that 2003-04 season. So this, for the Celtics, that wasn't going to be tolerable. So the teardown begins. So they get Ray Fulfrance, who played with Paul Pierce at Kansas. So that was nice. He also ends up trading Tony Battee and Eric Williams. So that brings in Ricky Davis. Mike James goes out. Lindsey Hunter comes in. They release Vin Baker and Jim O'Brien quits. So the Celtics are not really at their highest point right here. The full rebuild is going on. John Carroll. Does anybody remember John Carroll, the coach?
Of course. Yeah.
He was an assistant coach who just was the guy there. He was sitting in the chair. Here you go, John. Here's the whistle. Take care of it.
Yeah.
Be a caretaker for the rest of the season.
Land this plane. We don't care.
Yeah.
this season is not particularly great.
This is the playoff series against Indiana where Pierce basically unravels, right?
No, this is the next one. This year, yeah, it's later. This year they get swept. Whole team just unraveled. They got swept by Indy 4-0.
So there's another playoff series with Indiana?
Yes.
They seem to play them every year, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it all seems to run together.
Okay.
You know? Okay. All gets blended together.
Yeah.
If I could just stay on 2003-04 for a minute. There were numerous trades. If you want your head to spin, just look at Danny Ainge's transaction pages on basketballref.com. Oh, my God. You can't keep up with it. But I just wanted to give a special shout out to Chris Mills because he was involved in some of those trades just now that you talked about, John. You remember Chris Mills was the guy that Pitino signed before his first season coaching the Celtics. He signed Mills and then 2 months later traded him before the season even started. And now, again, Chris Mills he was in the Antoine trade. He came to Boston. But I'm not sure why he never suited up for them. Maybe he was injured or something. He never played a game for the Celtics. And he got traded away again in February of 2004. So he was with the Celtics twice and never played for them. I think that's some sort of special recognition is due to him for that.
Absolutely. Do you have his jersey, Mike?
I was going to say.
I don't think they had time to make one.
We need to make a Chris Mills. This is like the Rasheed Wallace Atlanta Hawks jersey or the Carmelo Anthony. Isn't there Carmelo Anthony Atlanta Hawks jersey or something like that? Like
at least played one game for them.
That's true. We need to get a Chris Mills number. Well, he wore number 24. We got to find a number. Like a Chris Mills jersey. I think that would be a fun inside joke for Celtics fans. I really, honestly, this thought just popped into my head. if my lasting legacy is creating an environment where this podcast launches the ironic Chris Mills Boston Celtics jersey at games, I will have succeeded in life. If I see somebody at that at a Celtics game with a Chris Mills jersey, I will buy you a beer. How's that? I will buy your beer for the night. How about that? You come up to me at a game with your Chris Mills jersey, I will buy you your beer for the night. What do you think?
Anytime this season? Is that for this season or beyond?
It's got to be this season. It's got to be whenever fans are allowed back in. Whatever that season is that fans are allowed back in. I should just make that okay. Like I should just make it for the remainder of the season, right? To be a real dick. No, but seriously, that would be a fun. I like this.
I mean, Mike, you're right. Like the transaction sheet for Ainge this first, you know, his first season there is just Patino-esque. And I'm just trying to remember how I felt about it. Because you're trying to figure out what was the rhyme or reason to this with so many players, being shuttled around. And with Ainge not having a track record, I guess I don't recall feeling overly optimistic about what was going on, with the organization.
Yeah, I think there was good reason not to be optimistic, because it just kept getting worse. You know, it was sort of like the ML era was coming back. You know, things were happening, but most of it was that games were being lost and the team sunk in the standings a little further each year. Where was the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I mean,
we couldn't see it.
There were significant moves made in 2004 in that offseason, moves that had that impacted this franchise for, you know, many, many years to come. That's when the significant moves started to happen.
Well, he hired Doc Rivers. That was one thing.
Yeah, April of 2004, they hired Doc.
Yeah. And then that as the season ended, he got hired. The draft, yes. Go ahead.
No, I didn't want to steer to the draft. John likes to button up each segment, so I didn't know if he wanted to go anywhere with this season before we delved into the draft.
No, I was going to move into the next thing where. Doc Rivers, like the 2004-2005 season is significant. This is a major turning point for the Boston Celtics. And we didn't know it at the time, I don't think. But this is where a lot of things that work out for the Celtics 2-3 years from now, this is where they all happen, I think, in 2004-2005. So you guys stole my thunder. Thanks.
we're on the same wavelengths.
Yes. So they do. They hired Doc Rivers, who was a coach of the year in Orlando for leading a team of, you know, a team that was supposed to be rebuilding to a 500 record. And everybody saw like the promise in Doc Rivers. He got fired the following year. He ends up doing TV and then Danny Ainge hires Doc. So Doc comes in April and end of April in 2004. Now we want to get to the draft, the 2004 NBA draft, where the Boston Celtics get Al Jefferson with the 15th pick, Delonte West with the 24th pick, Tony Allen with the 25th pick, and Justin Reed in the second round. So that was a big draft.
What a draft.
I mean, that was money. And I mean, Al Jefferson, a throwback to the post guys. Eventually we know that Al Jefferson gets traded away for in the Kevin Garnett deal. That's coming down the road. I loved Al Jefferson. He was to me, a throwback, a classic post presence, a guy, the first guy with some real serious post moves since Kevin McHale. Now, I admit, I'm a post play aficionado. I love a good post player, a guy that makes moves and is crafty down there, who's it's just my really goes back to my favorite kind of player. But that selection, Jefferson comes out of high school. I really felt like Al Jefferson paired with Paul Pierce was such a good fit that they would be able to play off of each other. I thought that was going to be a duo. That was going to be the championship duo.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We all want to learn new things, but it's so hard to do. It's hard to get motivated. It's hard to put in the time and invest what you need to invest to learn and actually use it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a secret weapon that I highly recommend. It's called Blinkist. Now, that is a very unique app that works on your phone, your tablet, on the web. It takes the best key takeaways, all the information that you need to know from thousands of nonfiction books, and it condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Everybody you know that's successful is a reader. Brad Stevens talks about reading books all the time. A lot of these guys, Phil Jackson, would hand out books for people to read and inspire. But do you have the time? Blinkist is made for people like you. You want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. It has an audio feature that makes it easy to finish a book during a commute, during a lunch break, during your workout, during a walk. It doesn't matter. You can listen to it without having to read it. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library. Self-help books, business, health, history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists and the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but you never had time to. I just used Blinkist for a long drive that allowed me to pile a bunch of books into a queue and get the best key takeaways from like a dozen different books rather than just reading one or two during that amount of time. And it's really helpful. So if you want to do that, you can go to Blinkist and get unlimited access to read or listen to the massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has got a special offer just for Locked On Celtics listeners. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
For me, though, I buy into the Al hype. It just him being a high school player, there was going to be some time that he was going to need. So I think it was, well, now here comes, we had all these flurry of moves. Now we're drafting this prospect who's a high school player, and now we need to watch him develop for 3 years before he's going to start to make an impact. So I think there was that component to it. But what's interesting, so this was the Robert Swift draft, right? So, we heard how Ainge was so into Robert Swift, another big man who was going to Seattle 3 picks sooner and had, I think, substance problems and such and fizzled out. But can you imagine where this franchise could be if, Danny had drafted Swift instead of Jefferson, who turned out to be, was the centerpiece in the KG trade. I mean, just unbelievable how things turn out. So
Chuck, most people listening don't have any idea who Robert Swift is. Right?
I mean, I only know.
I mean, that's part of your point there, but
because
would you mind explaining why Danny was enamored with him?
I mean, that's what I was about to say. All I know was he was a big and an athletic big. I don't know much about his game.
I don't know a lot myself about it. He liked him because of this brainwave thing. Do either of you remember that?
Yeah. No, fill us in, please.
Something about brainwave patterns.
They had a guy, they had like the brainwave doctor. I remember this.
Yeah.
That they had a guy that, yes. Go ahead, fill everybody in on this.
I don't know too much about it, except that I remember reading that Danny had this consultant doctor who studied people's brainwaves and could somehow predict whether they were going to be successful in life or something like that. I mean, it was really strange. Not your typical scouting methods. And apparently Robert Swift was, he had good brainwaves or some sort of, now I'm blabbering, right? But I don't know what it was, but it was having to do with that. And it was just so weird.
So I'm looking at a piece here. The doctor's name is, I'm going to butcher this, Jonathan Niednagel. And
that actually sounds familiar.
Yeah. So he would, like you said, he would evaluate potential based on factors such as facial expressions and brainwaves. And Larry Bird wrote in a book that Danny Ainge said, "Larry, you are an intense, high personality guy. A lot of serial killers have the same profile as you." And Bird said, "Yeah, Danny, I ought to kill you for saying that." So Ainge swore by this guy. And yeah, apparently this doctor had his brain waves liked Robert Swift. But I remember vaguely at the time thinking, like, I remember hearing about this. I'm like, as I'm talking, I'm like searching. This is horrible radio.
I'm so glad, you know, I've never been a big analytics guy and it's overtaken the league and such. It's overtaken sports, but I'm so thankful that, you know, we've gone the analytics and numbers route over the brain waves route because that would have been much worse.
Maybe brainwaves with the analytics of that time.
So here's here's a piece from NBA.com back from a few years ago where Ainge says of Robert Swift, "I really like that kid. I often wonder, I still believe to this day, no one will be able to convince me that Robert Swift wasn't going to be a dynamic NBA player. And in a different environment, in a different setting, if he stays healthy, it's a sad story we'll never know." So Swift played 97 games in 4 seasons before he was released by Oklahoma City. He was drafted by by Seattle, who became Oklahoma City. He was arrested on a gun charge. He became a heroin addict. Apparently he suffered a pretty bad injury. If I recall, like he tear up his knee. Who knows? Like, it's one of those stories where if things maybe Danny Ainge is right. Like, if things go differently, if he's not hurt, if he plays for different, if he comes to Boston and the Celtics get their hands on him rather than him going through whatever he went through, maybe things do go different. So, but you'll never know. But Danny Ainge swears by Robert Swift.
We haven't heard Danny talk about brainwaves since then, so
maybe, yeah, that's true.
Maybe he saw the light.
Well, I don't know.
I wonder what he thought of KG's brainwaves.
I'm willing to bet that KG broke the brainwave machine.
No, but this was a hell of a draft, and you know, Delonte had some very productive seasons, and You know, we know what Tony Allen turned into. So this was a heck of a draft for Danny.
So that draft now eventually sets up the Celtics for what we know is going to be a trade. But I've been open and honest about my feelings of that trade as it was building up. The Celtics were giving up so much. I believed in Al Jefferson, the early returns on Al Jefferson, and we'll discuss this. The early returns on Al Jefferson I thought were good, and he was progressing to a point where I thought he was going to be a pretty big star. I thought he was going to be the future of the Celtics alongside Paul Pierce, as I just said. And at that point, I think what separates people like me from people like Danny Ainge is that Danny Ainge kind of saw where the league was going. And I was thinking, hey, we need a post player. We need a guy who can get down on the blocks. We've got a young kid who is well-skilled, who is under contract for a while. Like I feel like at that point, there's your post player. Pierce is your wing player. Just find yourself a good point guard and you're in business. Now, obviously, the league went in a different direction, and I think Danny Ainge kind of saw that progression, and that's why he wasn't. And obviously, he saw a lot in Al Jefferson. He saw this opportunity to make a move, and he did it. That's going to be coming up in future episodes. So if you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do so you can get those future episodes directly to your device. If you have done that, please go ahead and give a 5-star rating. Give that good written review because that helps the Locked On Celtics podcast stay the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Number one, and really amongst the top 25 or so podcasts in all of basketball. So really appreciate you guys doing that. Again, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. If you are reordering all this week, you're going to get $5 off every box of bars. You'll get that even with the promo code. And on this Monday only, a free pack of the assorted Built Boost energy drink mix, which I used, I loved. It really does give you a nice boost. I usually have 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I only had one and this boost, and I was good. So no lag later on in the day. I really liked it. I thought it worked for me. So lots to do there at BuiltBar.com. Today only, that free assorted Built Boost energy drink mix. The $5 off all week long, every box of bars that you buy. And if this is your first time, stock up because you get $10 off on top of that with the promo code LOCKEDON. Now, go ahead and tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Hollinger and Duncan.